Thank you for being here on a Friday night. I am Sharon. I'm a Princeton University senior majoring in architecture with a certificate in urban studies. And I've always been interested in the phenomenon of immigration, how culture and personal stories influence the city, and how important it is that people tell their stories and resonate with each other about stories that they might find difficult, but actually have a very strong resonance. So I made this film when I was a sophomore, during sophomore summers, thanks to a grant from Princeton University that supports individual project that encourages exploration outside of the academic field. And I shot the story of 8 Chinese immigrants of first and second generation, sometimes third generation, in the summer, and been editing during my free time during my junior year. And it premiered at Princeton last April, and also in Beijing this summer, which was really exciting. And I'm so excited that you're here for the New York premiere. It's the first time it's been shown in the city, so I hope you like it. And there will be a Q&A session afterwards, and I would love to hear what you think about it.
Mes parents étaient partis avant moi de Chine pour arriver en France, si ce n'est par des photos à l'époque de ma mère et de mon père. Et mes grands-parents me disaient, elle, c'est maman. Lui, c'est ton papa.
Je suis venu à la maison, je vois mon père qui m'attend. Je me suis allé, je me suis allé,
I was born in the world.
Ensemble, encore, liberté,
ouais,
égalité,
ouais,
fraternité,
ouais,
et là,
sécurité.
On fait souvent des nuits blanches.
Qui nuit blanche?
Quoi?
Papa, maman.
Papa.
Nuit blanche parce qu'il travaille la nuit.
Ouais, il travaille la nuit.
C'est pour ça qu'elle est fatiguée.
Bah voilà, tu sais parler français.
Hi, how are you? Hope you liked it. Is there any questions? Yes.
How were you able to find your family and for them to give you permission to film them?
I basically came to Paris. I was interested in the subject, and I came with a few contacts, with my camera, my tripod, and I met as many people as I could. I met as many of their family and daughters and granddaughters and aunt and auntie friends as I could, and kind of tell them that I wanted to do the story. I'm interested in their story, and kind of just, you know, meeting more people as gaining more credibility as part of the community and be able to gain trust gradually, I think, working with them. Yeah.
What part of China are they from mostly?
Most of them are from Wenzhou. It's in this place out very close to Shanghai. That's where they're from, because a lot of the business people, including Mr. Xia, who's doing the wholesales there, they are kind of, because, you know, one community, your community goes, and then a lot of people follows through. And so that's a big community right now that are doing business and et cetera in Paris. Yes?
I'm assuming, like, this film is filmed prior to the ISIS bombing in Paris, right?
Yes, it is. It's last summer, in December.
How they're doing, how they're shaking, how's the security? in the city right now?
I being in touch with him, I think that's really, for me personally, the greatest joy that I've ever had is to know them and to be keeping in touch with them. And Olivier was telling me right off of, because I contacted them the night when I heard the news, and he was like, do you remember, Sharon, the street that we walked on, Nation, where we filmed, that was bombed. And Ray told me how one of his friends died. He saw him die. So, and that was, you know, incredibly personal to them and also to me, becomes in a way. And actually, this September, they held the biggest protest yet, demonstration in Paris, because of the death of Mr. Zhang Chaoling, is a 49-year-old man who was an immigrant and was beaten to death by this group of young French people, and caused a lot of outrage about the kind of unseen, because you think of Paris, you don't think of their Chinese immigrants, and they're kind of this community that is kind of invisible a lot of times. And that demonstration that they held this year really caught into kind of attention of this community, and what does the French government and the society stand for? Is it where they belong? Is it where that they can feel comfortable in, I guess? Yeah.
Question. I think I heard France has one of the largest Chinese population in Europe.
It does.
It has a very long history about immigrants from China. What made you decided to choose interview these people who are new immigrants versus, I would think there are different generations, right? People are having different lives over there. Why do you choose these people? And did you verify to make sure their stories are accurate? What made you decided to put this movie together?
I was basically interested in this phenomenon of arriving at a new place when you're young, or when you're in your mid-30s and 20s, and that bicultural experience, how that shapes you and how that shapes the environment around you. So I think that's why I wanted to begin with get in touch with IGCF. That's the kind of the first organization that I wanted to reach out to, that they really had this bicultural experience. And because of that, I think their experience is so different from people who have grew up in Paris, and so different from people who moved there when they were 40. I think that group is very unique. And what's the second part of it? Or it was there?
Most of the stories is coming from the interviews of the,
yes,
the individual themselves. So do you consider this as a documentary, or is it just a storytelling?
Yes, it's I consider it as a documentary. I think that I found their stories incredibly compelling, and that's why I worked on it for an entire year on my own. And it was kind of a gift to them, in a way, and to myself, that I do deserve their trust, because I know a lot of things are hard for them to say. I know that it is not easy to put yourself in front of a camera. And I think it made it easier because I was alone, I was 19, I was in front of them, I was doing the camera, but also doing the sound and lighting, and trying to make them feel as comfortable as I possibly could, doing, you know, five jobs at once, that I could be trusted and deliver that story. Yeah. Yes, hi.
Can you actually explain how you got into making this particular documentary, sort of filmmaking, when your major is architecture in school?
Right, so I got a lot of questions like this now, even though I never really thought about it when I was making it, what it means. I took this class. I've always been interested in storytelling, but I took this class by my advisor who advised me through the film, who's a documentary editor in New York, freshman fall in Trenton. That was kind of my first exposure to documentaries. And I wanted to use this opportunity that Princeton has to sophomores who wanted to do something that outside of their academic zone and kind of be it on my own. But then that was never a summer program. You know, it was supposed to be a summer project, but I kind of really took on, because by the time I returned from Paris, I had this footage with like 5 minutes of edit, and that was not at all time to make an entire film, but I really wanted to do it, and so I persisted in doing it, and realized in the process how much I like filmmaking. And now I'm in this situation where I'm looking for a way to combine design and filmmaking, the study of cities, but also people who live in them. I think that's what drives me as an individual. I don't know if that answers your question. Thanks. Thanks.
It's framed very nicely.
I'm glad to hear you say that. I have to say I've never taken a cinematography class. But I do like the visual. I do find it beautiful. I took this class by my advisor who told me how to edit, how to do that. But I learned sound editing entirely through this process. I learned how to work with, you know, musicians and composers, and how to, even though a lot of it was kind of, I edited and filmed and shot and directed everything by myself, but it was also a collaborative process of, you know, putting out there and designing and support from friends. I don't know if that entirely answers your question, but yeah, I think it's kind of exploration and process. Yes, hi.
So why did you pick specifically to film this in Paris? And how long did it take you to do all the filming?
I was in Paris for about 3 months. So I went there and started to, as soon as I could. The funny thing was that I took French only a year before. That was difficult in the first month I took French lessons in the morning, and I'll run home and get my tripod, and I'll meet those people, and I'll do, and one time I met Cindy, my voice was like entirely lost, and it never happened before, and I was like, I can't lose this interview with Cindy, which sounded amazing, and if I don't go, I would never have the opportunity to interview her again. I feel that, because why would people want to meet this 19-year-old who's trying to do something strange to them? And I went there, and I was completely not able to speak, but then it was wonderful because she told me everything about herself. And that was, as a filmmaker, everything that I wanted to learn about her. And I met with them a lot of times, actually, in different places, because I wanted to know their lives before I kind of wanted to, it wasn't like I wanted to wanted to film you. It was, first of all, I want to know your story. And then, can I tell that story? So I think, and then in Paris, because I'm extremely fascinated, because I also learned a year of French, interested in France, French culture, but also Paris as a city of super touristy, and people study as the romantic kind of image of Paris. But I was interested in, what do people like them think of Paris? That's a Paris that you never, or you rarely see. That's a Paris that you really know and heard of, and I was very interested in the difference as well. Yeah.
So you choose a story or documentary to tell the stories of these Chinese immigrants, first generation or second generation. Does that relate to you in any way? Is it because you share similar background?
I think the experience of going to a new place, don't know where you're going, being vulnerable, I share that. And I don't think that's unique to them. I don't think it's unique to this community. I think it's unique to a lot of us. And it's funny, when I screen it in different places and people write me nice emails and they tell me their stories. And it's funny, kind of like, we all kind of are from somewhere else. Different places, but this feeling of vulnerability and of not completely feel like you belong where you are, I resonated deeply with, and I learned that it's not a feeling that has to do with Chinese as a race or France as a country, as a specific place on the map, but it's a universal feeling that I resonated with. Yeah. Yes, hi.
Just curious. I guess there is another population of young Chinese students who go to France, like from,
right.
I would say, from much richer family and with much more resources. Are you able to get a chance to meet with this group of, you know, younger Chinese generation in Paris during
your time? Yeah. So Cindy's actually when she came as a student to learn business in Lyon, and then she married a French guy. And that's an example of a student, and I also met with other students, also professors. So Hui was a professor, the person in the lab with their code, and he has a lot of students who are studying different things. I did get to meet them, but I also feel like I was more interested in this dichotomy of culture, of this feeling that you want to belong, that I found in Ray and Olivier, that I loved, and that made me admire them so much and love them so much, that when I met with those students, it was like, I didn't find that.
Well, they're not really immigrants.
Right, they're not really immigrants. But again, I feel like if I could spend more time, and also I did this in, shot everything 3 months less, I feel like if I were able to kind of dig deeper, I would. It's just the people that I've met, because there is that kind of a selection, right? Like, who do you eventually want to be in your film? And I did, you know, I wanted a mother, I wanted a person who's like a young entrepreneur almost. I wanted this politician who was Olivier. I wanted an older businessman. I wanted to be different generations. I wanted to be different occupations. So that's kind of what I had in mind. And I did consider a student. I thought Cindy kind of, for me, when she said that, you know, she kind of loved this country when she came, and then now she has a daughter, I felt that dynamic is almost more interesting than just that she came as a student. Yeah. Hopefully you think you agree with me or not. I will dig deeper and do more research. Yes.
More of a comment than a question.
Yeah.
It's remarkable how similar their experience in Paris is to, let's say, in New York.
Interesting.
So when I went to, I spent some time in France, and I remember how, partly because of that romantic idea of what Paris is like, and right. I went to the immigrant neighborhoods just because I was curious about what the lives of the other half is like. And I went into the Arab neighborhoods, and they were desperately poor. The same neglect that we see in ghettos in New York is how those ghettos are. And they're not in, of course, they're not in wealthy areas. They're the fringes of Paris. So I think not long, I think maybe about a decade ago, there were riots. The youth, the Arab youth, who rioted and burned cars. And it's just so, I understand now, having visited the city and seen those neighborhoods, where that frustration and anger comes from too. Anyway, I just thought it was so interesting, like decades after, that I see this experience and how similar that is to the Chinese immigrants in the United States.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah, I'm glad. And it's also kind of strange when I was showing this in Beijing, because this film is half Chinese, half French, but all English. The people who came were unable to understand things were actually the Americans who were in Beijing, and they resonated with us well. A lot of the feelings that they had, I'm assuming not the ghettos, but like the feeling of struggle of belonging and of defining who they are, not in feeling like they are entirely part of the community, they felt that too. And asked the Princeton community, the Chinese community in Princeton area, New Jersey area, when they came, and they felt that too, which is, yeah.
Do you plan to take this, I mean, are you bringing your film to other places in the country or other schools? Or?
I really want to. Mm-hmm. It's showing Berlin November 21st, which is really exciting. But I'm very new to this filmmaking. I really want to. I think maybe Colombia actually soon as well. I think it's an incredibly important story. But in terms of the how to get it out there, I don't think I really have an answer yet. I would love advices on that. Yeah. And as a full-time student, I also struggle with, you know, finishing your assignment better than. But this is something that resonates with me very deeply as a person, individual, and I would love to be able to kind of do more on a similar scale or bigger scale, I hope, yeah, in the future. Yes?
I saw there's a Facebook page at the end of the film.
Yes.
I have a friend who has a large, majority of her family are in Paris right now. She's also a Chinese immigrant.
Right.
She wasn't able to make it tonight. Is there a way for her to get to know about this and maybe perhaps in the future watch an entire film?
Yes.
In New York.
In New York, yes. So I have postcards that have the website and the email, my contact information. Anthony, can you get them? I don't know. That
postcards right in front of you.
Yeah, so you can grab them at the end. And there's also sheets where you can write feedback. I would love your feedbacks. But yeah, so there's a website, there's a Facebook page, and just be in touch with me and I'll get back and respond and figure things out. Yeah. Yes, hi.
Hi. So, like, I just really love the way you just captured, like, the whole immigrant, like, story and, like, how everyone has, like, grow and, like, help, like, define themselves. Like,
thanks.
Would you consider, like, showing it in Boston? Or have you shown it in Boston?
No, I've not shown it in Boston.
Because there's, like, a lot of, like, the international students are here and they're, like, very mm-hmm. trying to find the community. And there's a lot of, like, this story. Like, it's, I felt like when I went to Boston, it was sort of missing from, like, the campuses, because not everyone realizes, like, how hard everyone had to work to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, it'd be really interesting, because it's such a, it's, like, really beautiful, like, how you touched on, like, a lot of different aspects of, like, the immigrant story and, like, just growing up and, like, the, sort of, like, the union of cultures once you're, like, second generation or first generation. So, I don't know, you should just consider, like, Boston.
Thanks.
Like, that would, like, be really great, like, people could benefit from seeing it. Like, it's a really great film.
Thank you. Yeah. Can you leave your email address to me? I'll be in touch. Leave your email address. Yeah, thank you. That's important to hear, and I will pass on to my characters. Yes, hi.
Were you present at the demonstration?
I wasn't present at the demonstration. So demonstration footage was a live footage from one of the organizations that I was in touch with, and they were able to give me the footage. So because you can see the different resolutions. That wasn't me who was filming. It was taken from outer footage.
Because the number says between 15,000 to 20,000.
Yes.
In the demonstration, and I'm just trying to compare that to some of the events that occurs in New York City, trying to gather the community, and that's difficult to get 15,000 to 20,000. Like, for example, you know, we have 12% Asian Americans in New York City. And, like, the largest demonstration I've seen was for Peter Lang, which was the police officer, you know.
Which Ray was actually very interested in when he was in New York.
So that's a sense of community might be a little bit more strong in Paris. I don't know.
I would, I think there's much larger population of Chinese immigrants in New York than there is in Paris. But I think this issue that about security maybe is something that is stronger in Paris than, I mean, happily, fortunately, than it is in New York and in many parts of the U.S. When Olivier said that I know my mom, my dad, my aunt, and all the people that I know have been harassed on the street and, like, people have grabbed their bags, I think, fortunately, maybe, hopefully, that's not an experience that is common in New York City. So I think security is something that is political, but it's also not political. It's also personal. And that's, I think, part of the reason they would be able to gather as many people that feel vulnerable in Paris. that is not, and I think that, and this protest is, I think, the largest at 2009 or something. And then I was saying this September, they gathered about 60,000 people in Paris. 60,000. And it's not just Chinese, it's like other Asian minorities as well. And also, you know, of all different races, to fight against discrimination, against racial violence, which is incredibly, you know, important and touching. And it's a very personal issue. That's why I think people went to it and rallied for it.
You know what? I don't understand why this is happening now, because the same thing is happening in, San Diego.
Oh, interesting.
In Philadelphia. That's about 700 protests about a month ago.
Okay.
And then there's rise in crime against Asians. There's no breakdown subgroup in New York City. It's the only ethnic group to report a rise in crime in the whole city.
Interesting.
So I'm not sure why this is happening. It seems not only domestically, but it's happening globally too. In Italy, there's an agreement between the Italian government and Chinese government because there's a rise in crime against the Chinese tourists in Italy. And because the Italian police cannot speak Chinese, they made an agreement with the Chinese government to have police officers patrol Rome.
Interesting.
So this is not, I mean, listening to you, this is not, and this is news to me, but I don't know why is this happening all over? It's very strange. Anyway.
I wish we would have given, that's super interesting, yeah. Hi.
What camera did you use yourself, and what did your subjects think about the
What camera did I use? I use a Sony to shoot. How does my character think about it? The only person I was able to watch it physically with was Ray, who came. I flew him from Paris during the Princeton premiere, which was very exciting. And I think he told me something really interesting, which made me very happy. He said that, you know, when you show Cindy with her daughter, I never had that with my mom as a kid. If people saw that, if I saw that as a kid, I would maybe go home and talk to my mom about that. And maybe that would, you know, make things somehow a little different. And he also talked about, I'm using his example because he was there and present and interacting with the audience afterwards, that the media's portrait of people is incredibly important. So part of the protest, he said, it wasn't really, you know, kind of really for a very specific goal. I mean, they wanted more patrols in the Bellevue area, but it was more of projecting this image to the society that of who, when they look at someone who is, what he said, when you look at someone who is Chinese, Asian, like, what do you think of them? And that image has a lot to do with what the media tells you. And there is a lot of media in France that kind of, that's what IGCF works against, kind of denouncing the, using one example and then making a larger generalization about this whole group. So for example, there was this, they found this French investigator, a group who found this restaurant who was doing kind of like overdue food and selling this to customers. And they reported it, and it was kind of a general thing about like every single restaurant, Chinese restaurant in the entire Paris is doing this, and nobody came. Xue was complaining. He was like, during that 2 months, nobody came to my restaurant to buy what normally we eat, but I wasn't doing this business. I was like, you know? And then IGCF and a lot of people like Ray, who's fluent in French, and knows the politics, knows the language, is able to kind of go to the police and say, hey, and the journalists and say, hey, you cannot just say that your case and your investigation is incredibly valid as its own example, but you can't make a generalization then just because you don't think that we as a community read your newspaper or can complain, unlike the other groups, that is not true. And he's saying how this kind of media like this, in some small way, contribute to that image of that is not normally seen, that is not normally heard, another narrative that you don't get a lot in the bigger media stories. Yeah. Hi, yes.
Reyes has been speaking Chinese in the movie, but he said his French is better than Chinese.
Yes,
but
it is.
On the other side, Olivier, who actually speaks French all the time, so is that some reason behind it, or he's doing it intentionally?
It's a really interesting question because I want them to speak in whatever language they're most comfortable in. Olivier was like, I'm not speaking any other language with you other than French. I was like, okay. Because he really felt most comfortable in French. Ray, because when I first met Ray, which is I think the first 2 weeks when I was in Paris, then I wasn't really that good at French. So our conversation at the beginning was in Chinese. And I think that, and he always talks, you know, about his experience, and he thinks of Chinese, he said to me, as in a more intimate language for him to talk about his childhood. But I do understand too that, you know, when he talks about his experiences and his viewpoints and his larger picture, he really is more comfortable in French. So it's really whatever, and I mean, I never directed them, I never really told them to talk in this language, but it's whatever language that you feel most comfortable in. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Hi. Last question. Yes.
In terms of the filmmaking process, I'm pretty sure you had like many difficulties, but I just wanted to know how you were able to overcome so that we could see the product that we have today. Just like things that helped you to persevere until the very end of the project.
Very end of the project. I think a really big part of it is their story. I felt so compelled because this is only me. When people see it, they see differently. When I see myself in that room. I see myself with that in that car with Shi when he was singing. I picture being in that room in front of Olivier when he tells the story of his dad being in prison. And it's difficult because I know nobody else see it that way. And the film from its beginning to the end, it's really about feeling what I felt to a narrative that the larger public who doesn't know anything about, you know, my experience, which is everybody else, would understand, to kind of frame a narrative in a way that makes sense and they can resonate with. As I resonate, I've always resonated. That was, I think, also a challenge, but also like the biggest motivation, I would even say. My advisor is super helpful, which I'm very thankful of. And I really liked filmmaking. I really liked editing, I think, which is what I kind of found. I was not able to do other things unless I'm like done with this cut. And I can email my professor, can you like help me see this? And there's some questions that I have. It's a combination of a lot of things. And I'm glad that people can see it. I'm glad I have a film to begin with. But I think it's much more than the film for me. It's just people that I met, people like you who I get to meet, who I never otherwise would have met, people during a process of, you know, helping me and just supporting me through it. And knowing people who are not that nice in Paris and also around when, mainly in Paris, when, you know, it was kind of discouraging, like, what are you, you know, trying to do? You learn from them too, I think, in the end. And realizing now watching you from a distance of, you know, several months, I'm able to say that there's so much I could have done. There's so much more I could have done. But within the frame that I was alone and in Paris by myself and for 2 months, and I think that narrative on its own, what I was able to get in, that speaks so much about their generosity of the community, about how extraordinary they are, about how extraordinary stories are, everybody's story. And that's what I really take away from that. Everyone, if I dig deep enough, I can find something extraordinary in them. And that's at the end of it, what I really liked, because they're just, you know, ordinary people as well, like you, who are also extraordinary. Yeah.